The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's TweakedAudio.com.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 104 for Wednesday, March 26th, 2014. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies to television, books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight is none other than Ryan Murphy of The Gamers Inn and many other podcasts that we would lose time if we listed them all, Ryan.
There's too many.
There is too many. I don't know where you find the time.
I don't.
You make the time, right?
Well, I don't make the time either. I don't know how it happens.
Yeah. Well, it's been a few weeks since we've had you on the show, and also making good on a promise to have you on more often. So, welcome back.
Yay. I'm happy to be back.
How's your week going so far?
What day is it? It's Wednesday.
So far?
It's been pretty busy. So far it's Wednesday. Yeah, my week's going well. I'm hoping before I know it'll be the weekend, but we shan't hold our breath.
I know the feeling. I feel like it's just, I had a really long week last week, so much so that I ended up canceling the Citadel Cafe. We didn't get a record time in last week because I was just working for the first time in a long time overnight on a project. It's not something I do very often, but I was working from in and around like, you know, a full work day, Tuesday, into the evening, overnight, and then all the way until 1 p.m. Wednesday.
Wow.
So yeah, it was like 36 hours on a project. I don't recommend it. I mean, obviously there was time in there for, you know, dinner and breaks. And I think I might have had a nap from 5 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. or something like that. But it was not nearly enough, certainly not enough to counteract the amount of time that I was awake. No, what happened was I ended up with a flat tire on Monday night. And then I had to go get that fixed on Tuesday, which took longer than I was anticipating. And really, when you're on a deadline that's tight, even like 2 or 3 hours away from the studio is just a problem. So I ended up having to cancel the show. And this week, I am having a normal week. It feels light in comparison, but I'm still tired. Like, I'm still reeling, I think, from all the long hours last week. So I'm still doing all my regular duties, but it feels like Wednesday was a long time coming, and we've got a storm here hitting Halifax today, and it's made the day seem longer because everything is just so quiet. So quiet. Are you guys still getting winter weather up there in Ontario, or is it a little bit more of a spring?
It's cold. We had some snow a couple days ago, but I think most of it's starting to melt now. I think starting tomorrow and into next week, we're supposed to get warmer, so I'm hoping it gets warmer and stays that way, because I had to scrape my car off this morning, and I was not happy. I live around a lot of old people, and they were like, this is not the normal morning conversation I'm used to. There are a lot of bleeping. There was no bleeping, but you know, I don't self-censor myself when I'm trying to scrape the car off at the end of March when it should be warm out. Hey, people. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we just got like 2 feet of snow today, all in one go, plus another 10, 15 millimeters of rain, and everything was canceled. Malls were closed, buses were closed, schools were closed, government closed, everything. Wow. Completely shut down. And Nova Scotia normally is not so bad about canceling things. Like, I mean, it's Canada, you know, like there has to be a sizable storm, you know, or treacherous road conditions to cancel things. But this year, I feel like it's either been really, really bad weather, or people have just been really, I don't know, flighty about canceling stuff. I feel like a couple of snowflakes fall down and everybody's like, cancel school. And it's just like, guys, come on. Like, I'm going to sound like an old man, but I used to have to walk to school in worse stuff than this, you know, like.
Yeah, I think the issue is that you know, it's not that they don't trust the bus drivers or, you know, the professionals to be out there driving. It's the unknown. And I mean, mm-hmm. the less you have to worry about, the less you have, like, you know, your lawyers worrying that someone's going to get in an accident and cause a bus to go off the road. It happens here too. Like, there'll be a risk of freezing rain, and all, like, I wish this happened when I was a kid, because if that was the case, I would know there'd be a snow day the next day. It's like, oh, there's a risk of freezing rain. I'm not going to bother getting up because it's going to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it does nothing and it's bright and shiny and you get to have a nice day outside. But I don't know. I think it's more like a liability thing. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. But today it's they're calling it the White Wannabe, which you and I were quickly chatting about in pre-show. Mm-hmm. Basically, Hurricane Juan was a huge storm that actually hit Halifax several years ago, probably 10 years ago now. And it was followed by a very big winter storm just a few months later. So we were still cleaning up from the hurricane damage in September or October. And then in January, we got hit by a huge amount of snow. And it was one of those big storms that tended to linger. So we got like 2 or 3 feet of snow, and it just, they called it White Juan because it happened within the same year as the Hurricane Juan. And so they were calling this particular storm the White Wannabe, in that it was the same intensity. I mean, we had wind gusts up over 100 kilometers an hour, sustained winds at around 80 kilometers an hour. So, I mean, for those of you that, you know, aren't quite up to snuff, I mean, that means whiteout conditions. I don't know if they closed the bridges in Halifax, but they probably came pretty close. And the difference being that the storm was moving much faster through the region. So it dumped a lot of snow quickly, but it moved on. I'm like, already it's just windy now. There's no precipitation. And if there is, it's just rain. So it was just a messy, messy day here in the city. Now, today was a warranted cancellation. I would not want to send my kids, if I had them, or anybody out into this kind of weather. Jocelyn stayed home from work today. I unfortunately, you know, don't get a snow day when, well, and neither did Jocelyn for that matter. She had an email and stuff she had to take care of, but you know, like, I don't get snow days when the weather like this happens. It just, unless the power goes out, and then you don't want that to happen, because I mean, hey, the power goes out and I can't work, but that means I can't do anything else entertaining either.
That's true. You know? I whenever stuff like this happens, I'm like, okay, want it to storm just bad enough that I have to stay home, but not so bad that I lose power. And I've had occasions where I've been sent home from work, and then I get home like, great, got the day off, I'm gonna relax, gonna get some gaming in, all that fun stuff. Power goes out. The power ended up being out longer than I would have even been at work, and turns out the power was still on at work. So it's like, this is what I get.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of winter weather, actually, I've got a little bit of housekeeping to do here at the top of the show. You all know my co-host, Peyton, who has been away from the Citadel Cafe for a little while because he's co-directing a short film for the National Film Board. His film, 54 Hours, premieres this Sunday, March 30th. He has been working on this for at least a year. I want to say possibly even 18 months or more. So if you have an opportunity to either spread the word about 54 Hours, which is the name of the film, you can also find Peyton on Twitter, at Peyton Francis, and congratulate him on the 30th for just accomplishing, you know, a directorial feat. It's not, I don't think it's his first, it might be his first co-directing title. He's done some other work with the National Film Board, but I think he was animating or art directing. I don't think he was actually at the helm. But he just released a poster for the film, which I've just thrown in our chat room, and it's at mediamachine.ca/ONF/54hours-B. Hopefully, you guys can share that image around, because it's a pretty interesting, and cool look at what might be, I guess some foreshadowing in what's going to happen, in possibly footage from the film. From what I've been told, I haven't seen anything actually. I haven't heard any footage whatsoever, or seen any footage whatsoever from 54 Hours as of yet. The other thing is that, Peyton and his, co-director Bruce Alcock, and I believe potentially the writer Michael Crummy, were interviewed on CBC. Not the first one that happened in December, but another interview much closer to the release date here of the film this weekend. That is not available online on CBC as of yet. It's been my humble experience that CBC tends to be pretty lazy in terms of putting those links out there. They interview you and they'll put you on CBC Radio or they'll put you on CBC TV. But if you miss that moment, then getting it online later, it's just, it's the last thing on their to-do list, it seems. So I apologize for not being able to share a link right away. But again, follow Peyton at Peyton Francis on Twitter. And hopefully he will post a link to that interview when it becomes available. I checked with him just before the show and it was still not around. So hopefully either between now and when I post this episode or shortly, you know, before the premiere of the film or after the premiere of the film this weekend, that interview on CBC will be available. So once again, it is a National Film Board film co-directed by Peyton Francis and Bruce Alcock. And it is called 54 Hours. It's been something that has been a labor of love from Peyton for quite a while. So if you're interested or available to check that out, find it at mediamachine.ca/ONF/54hours-B, and that will have all of the information on like where the premiere is and times and all that kind of stuff there. That is it for that stuff. I believe I had some corrections to make from last week too, or not last week, but I guess 2 weeks ago. Now, Mike O'Day, we're talking, and I were talking about WildStar, and I am not in the WildStar beta anymore. It turns out that you do actually have to purchase the pre-order for WildStar in order to be in the weekend beta tests that are happening over the next month. And I apparently, even though I was in the winter beta, don't get access to those. And I also will receive access to the open beta, but so does everybody else come sometime in May. That date has not been announced yet. And then of course the game goes live on June 3rd, I think. Now I don't necessarily need a head start, which is one of the perks of the digital deluxe edition. And I was thinking about this and I'm disappointed that I'm not in the weekends. But in all honesty, I don't think I would be playing that much in May anyway, because I do want to pick up the game. I do want a collector's edition, which is what I'm holding out for. And I don't want to play it to the point where I'm, you know, kind of burnt out on it on launch day. Like, I kind of want to be able to go in there in and around the week or weekend after it launches and play with a bunch of people at level 1 through 10, you know? Mm-hmm. I did not get into WoW until much later. And it was not really an MMO experience for me when I was leveling at first. So I'm looking forward to jumping into WildStar. And I'm potentially even thinking about doing a PvP realm just to see what that's like.
I'm not really PvP sure. PvP would be fun.
Yeah, well, and I want to talk to a bunch of other people that I know are picking up the game. Mike O'Day is going to get it. I know that Joe Wright, who we had on the show here a few weeks ago, has already pre-ordered. So he's in the beta weekends. So I'm looking forward to playing with a couple of friends and seeing what that's like to just, you know, have a group of three or four people and go through the content and see how it goes. So yeah, that's all the, I guess, the housekeeping news for this week. What's new in the online world of Ryan Murphy? Have you been up to anything cool?
I haven't been doing a lot of online stuff, but something I like to do on occasion, getting back to my university roots is getting the guys together, some old university buddies, and having like a gaming like weekend. And we just had one last weekend, and it was pretty crazy. You talked about like working long hours. We had our computers set up. Obviously, Ashley went to her parents because she did not want to be near this amazing epicness of gaming, but. We had all four computers set up in front of the big TV. We had two couches sort of like positioned on either side of a table for board games. And we like played Diablo. We played a couple of board games that I'd never played before, including Pandemic, which is a game where you are like a bunch of like medical staff and you're trying to cure the world of four rapidly spreading diseases.
Wow.
And it's really cool because you have to kind of control the spread. There's going to be spread no matter what you do, but you have to control it so it doesn't start to cause an outbreak. So you have these little cubes, and one cube represents a small disease infection, then two and three. And as soon as you hit three, there's a chance that if you hit another cube there, there'll be an outbreak and it just starts spreading. And it can be like a chain reaction and cause you to lose the game and stuff. But that's a really fun game. And we also played... Crusaders of the Camelot or Camelot Crusaders or something. I can't remember the name, but it was like,
I think it's Crusaders of Camelot.
Yeah. Yeah. That, well, I think it is. Yeah. it was interesting because it's like I got to be the trader too. And what happens is it's like a round table and you go on quests to collect white swords. And if you have a majority of white swords, you win, but you get black swords by like losing quests and causing quests to fail or not being able to successfully defend. And I ended up being the traitor, and they ended up killing me off on purpose because they kind of assumed I was the traitor, and I still won the game because they didn't collect enough white swords. So it was a lot of fun, and we were up till like 5 a.m. one night and then 6 a.m. the next night just playing games all night long, and I hadn't done that. That's probably why I've been tired this week, because I got like maybe 8 hours of sleep over the course of 3 days on the weekend.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't take much, man.
No, I know. But you know, it's nice to relax and get back to the good old days of just, you know, like in university we'd have weekends where it's like, well, we have no schoolwork. It's kind of like, what else do? You know?
Yeah.
we each had our own computer. We were all on the same network. We all had our own rooms. We just played video games.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
This wasn't Shadows over Camelot, was it?
It might have been. I you know, it's funny. I don't know. I know it has Camelot in it. Let me see. Actually, I think it is Shadows over Camelot.
Yeah, because I typed it into Google, and it seems to be the most popular link. And BoardGameGeek.com, for those of you who are into board games, is a fantastic resource for like, what was that game I played that one time in that person's house that I don't remember at all? this will totally help you out with that. Because they usually have a picture of the board game box, and that's usually your biggest visual cue, right? Is like, oh yeah, that's totally the box that, you know, my friend John pulled out at the party or whatever. So
yeah, that was a lot of fun. I both that one and Pandemic were really interesting, and I don't own any. Well, I own a few. I own Munchkin, thanks to you and Jocelyn, and also I wouldn't really call Cards Against Humanity a board game, but it's in a similar, you know, grouping.
It's
but,
a tabletop game. It's a it's a, you know, group game, I guess.
Yeah, and I you know, it's I like Shadows over Camelot. I like Pandemic. I like Catan as well. Played it around.
I enjoy Catan. Yeah, I really like Catan. I'm looking forward to doing some more RPG tabletop gaming at Nerdtacular this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, Jocelyn and myself, Steven, and I don't remember Steven's last name. He was the dungeon master, but you know who you are. And then Old Man Franks and his wife. And I want to say Ben and Sarah were also there. I don't think Sarah was playing. I think she was just kind of hanging out. But Ben was definitely there. And we all played the Star Wars RPG. And it was just like one encounter. It was like, you know, a starship hangar bay full of battle droids. And we all had a character. And we went through and played that. And it was a blast. I mean, obviously, we're around a lot of good friends who are all very nerdy and very into this stuff, but I'd like to do that again. It would be really cool if we could find a way to get you on board with that, if you're going to be at Nerdtacular this year. I know that Garrett and Dills are also going to be there, so if we can get a couple of the podcasting buddies we have to, you know, and co-host from Jocelyn's shows, and, you know, obviously get Jocelyn in there, I think it'd be really, really fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, last time we played an RPG game wasn't actually in person. We played, for Zombies Ate My Podcast, we did a zombie RPG campaign online using, I can't remember what tool it was called, but it was episode 50, and we did a video episode where we actually role-played a zombie campaign over the internet. And it's not necessarily the same as doing it in person, but it's still nice when I know personally where I am, I wouldn't be able to collect, you know, I wouldn't be able to collect enough people to do something like that, to do it in person. That's why Nerdtacular is nice, but it's also great that these tools exist, mm-hmm. like online, to be able to do it as well, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know some of our friends, like Mike Boyd, Iceworm, I think he does like a tabletop gaming session, or he uses a service that's for tabletop gaming to do like Cards Against Humanity sessions online.
Yeah, the online Cards Against Humanity platform is really cool too. We use that during Extra Life, and it worked just like a charm. I mean, you have to kind of set up your own rules to sort of emulate how it would work on a tabletop, but you know, it had the same effect. At least for me, it did at 2 a.m. laughing my butt off. But
yeah, that's a good time. That's a good time of day to play that game. If you're going to be up all night trying to play games, then playing Cards Against Humanity after midnight gets the giddy gets the giddy people right where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Normally what happens. Well, I guess we can move on to what we are watching. And let's just dive right into something that I know we both have been taking in, and that is Star Wars The Clone Wars on mm-hmm. Netflix. I announced that this was coming out, and I was excited about it a few weeks ago in the show. I know that I did talk at length about Star Wars the last time we did an episode with Mike, and we did mention The Clone Wars briefly, but most of the time we were talking about the Blu-ray, you know, special edition of the movies. But this is now something that Jocelyn and I are watching together, and she loves it. I obviously am a big Star Wars fan, so I like the cartoon quite a lot. I've seen the first season and a half, so we're at a point now, and we're about halfway through the second season where I have seen most of them, and I feel like I had watched the second season much more recently than I had seen the first. I think I saw the first when it was on TV, and then I fell off because I didn't have cable, and then I started getting back into it when I had access again. I don't know whether I had DVDs or what. But that was, they were into like season 4 or 5. So it was only a couple of years ago that I watched season 2. So a lot of the episodes we were watching right now, I'm getting like little echoes of, oh yes, I remember this. And then you remember who the bad guy is. So there's not a lot of mystery right now in the show. But I really, really like it. And it looks amazing on Netflix with the Super HD and the surround sound and all that kind of stuff. Like I'm really impressed with how good the show looks. Is this your first time viewing the Clone Wars?
I watched the movie that they released. I was trying to remember like the timelines as to when this thing was released.
Yeah, the movie was not great.
It was post episode 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so was the movie split into a bunch of episodes?
Yeah, so the way that this all worked is that there's two Clone Wars series. The first one is the 2D animated shorts. Mm-hmm. And those were aired in between the release of Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, the feature films. Right. And they tied in, like they filled in the gaps. Then after Revenge of the Sith was all done, they went and they said, oh, hey, you remember all that Clone Wars talk? Well, now we're actually going to show you what happened during the Clone Wars, and we're going to follow Anakin and Kenobi. But these events happen between the end of the cartoon series, the 2D animated one, and the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. So Anakin isn't the whiny young kind of ponytail kid. He's got long hair and he wears a lot of black and all this kind of stuff. So he's still a good guy. Like he's not really dark, at least not yet.
He hasn't slaughtered a bunch of...
No, but, that brings up a good point. Like this is not for 5-year-olds. Like this cartoon, granted there's blasters and lightsabers, so people don't necessarily die. If they dismember anything, it's usually a robot.
Or clones.
I guess.
Have clones... There's a scene where a worm gets a hold of one of those clones and that worm is not gentle. There's no like dismemberment. I mean, they wouldn't be able to do that, but he gets away with that guy and he's flopping in that mouth and not happy about
being eaten. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, they haven't like, you know, shown a lightsaber cut off someone's arm, but General Grievous is in this and he is a much... more robust villain in the cartoon, in the Clone Wars animated series than he is in the movies. And he's brutal. Like, I mean, he grabs clones by the faces and snaps their neck. Like, they don't dwell on it. Like, it happens really quick, but like, if I was watching this, I'm just like, no kid of mine under 10 is going to be watching quite so much, you know. But
I think it's a teen show, right? They were targeting, like, the 13 to 15.
Yeah, they're targeting the same kind of people that watch, like, Avatar The Last Airbender. They kind of like, they start off when they're around 10 and they stay with it. And as the kids get older, they change the writing for the show to get a little bit older.
Right.
And that's what I find as well, as that as the seasons have progressed, the writing has gotten more mature. You can tell in the first half of the first season that it was very episodic, despite the fact that there was like a 3-parter to start the thing. And that goes back to your question. There was a Cartoon Network movie that was aired on TV and in theaters, I think. And that was the one where they had to rescue Jabba the Hutt's kid.
Oh, okay. So that must be midway through season 1. I haven't hit that point yet.
Well, see, that's the thing. That it's not part of the season. It's a separate file on Netflix. So Netflix has that as a standalone movie.
So is that pre-season one then? I should watch that first?
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, you're really not missing much. All it does is just kind of fill you in on how Ahsoka Tano and Skywalker meet.
I thought there was missing. Yeah. There's some missing there where it's like there are new Padawans.
Yeah. So yeah, there's okay. There's a little bit there, but and it's how they get their ship, and it explains a little bit of the conflict. But that happens in an interesting place because later on in season one, there's an episode where they're on the same planet. And it's almost like you get to see a glimpse of what was going on before Ahsoka arrived, and they never address the movie. Like, it's almost like the movie fits in right after that episode.
Hmm.
It's a little bit tricky. You can look it up online. You can look it up, because when Joss and I were watching the series, we were trying to figure out, okay, we've done episode 4 and 5. We've gone back and we've watched episode 2. So now we have to figure out what we want to watch between 2 and 3. So I went up and I looked up the chronological order, the timeline for the Clone Wars series, and they really jump all over the place. You can watch them in order in the way that they're aired in the series and you'll be fine. But if you were looking for a particular, you know, order in terms of a historical order, there's a few things that they jumble around. There's a couple of flashback episodes apparently coming up in upcoming seasons. So, I mean, it's not just a straight line, but it can still be viewed as a straight line is what I got from my online research, is that, like, you know, you don't have to jump around because it's kind of a pain in the ass. You can just watch season one, season two. And I'm ahead of you. So we're halfway through season two, and having gone that far and thinking about that first movie, you don't need to watch it. You can watch it whenever you have time. You're not missing too much.
You know, this sort of stuff, like the geeky sci-fi mess of timelines, like I sometimes latch onto it and I get it. Star Wars is not one of them,
mm-mm.
but like Mass Effect I could do, but like Star Wars, Star Trek, even like Doctor Who, I can't, my mind cannot jump into that mess of yarn and figure that out. But I am digging the Clone Wars in the sense that I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I like it, but I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, like, in order to digest it, it's a 2.5 hour movie. With this, it's like, if I feel like getting my Star Wars on, it's like 20 minutes, I'm in, I'm out. The Clone Wars has been really good for that. And that's how I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, and they have that really cool kind of not juxtaposition, but they have that really cool narration at the beginning where, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that happens between one episode and the next. And rather than having to have all this boring posturing during the episodes, the announcer just brings you up to speed. This Jedi is on this planet and this war is going badly and this person is in jeopardy and we have to save the princess. Okay. And that's what's happening this episode. And so you get all of this backstory right away rather than having to slowly build up to these key battles throughout like 4 or 5 episodes. They just jump right into it. Yeah. They're like, no, all the boring really stuff like happened that. When you weren't there, you know? So do you find that is it too much, you know, as someone who's relatively new to Star Wars lore and all that kind of stuff? Is it hard to follow, or do you find it pretty straightforward?
No, I'm really liking it. I don't find it's too crazy. I mean, you know, it follows Anakin and his Padawan, and that's sort of easy to grasp onto. And, you know, you have your R2, your C-3PO. It was kind of weird jumping in because you're not really sure how Padme jumps in every once in a while with C-3PO, but I don't know where it's going, but I understand, like, they are in the thick of the Clone Wars and they are, you know, trying to either capture or kill or whatever, grab these separatists, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard that the Clone Wars series does a lot more politics stuff and does it well. So I'll be interested to see how that works, because so far it's really just been battling, but a couple episodes have been like, you know, like treaty disagreements and stuff. It's actually really cool, and I dig smart Star Wars as opposed to just, I'm going to shoot you with this lightsaber thing for a while.
Yeah. Well, you remember, like, how many times have you seen the movies, like the original trilogy and the prequels?
Oh, it's been a while. I actually bought the Blu-rays and I started watching the prequels again. I think I made it through episode 1 and 2 before I stopped. Hmm. Probably in hindsight, should have started with 4, 5, 6 because I hadn't seen those since I was a kid, maybe like 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, you're saving the best for last. So the 4, 5, 6 are certainly obviously the strongest films. But the one that I think you might be, it's funny how it's, if you haven't watched, I don't want to recommend that you watch the third one. Like Revenge of the Sith fills in a lot of the political goals, but at the same time, if you're not remembering all those, it would be really interesting to watch the Clone Wars with that lack of knowledge, like to not know exactly how things are going to pan out politically. Yeah. I think that would be a really interesting interesting, I guess, viewpoint for watching the Clone Wars. I mean, do you know who all the players are? Like, do you know who Count Dooku is? And
yeah, I know. I feel like Count Dooku, and then you have your Viceroy weirdo looking dudes mm-hmm. from episode 1, and you know, you have your droids and all the droid types. Grievous as well. Like, I actually, you know what, Grievous, I really don't know who that is, and I remember him at the start of one of the movies, and that's it.
Well, so far in the Clone Wars, and it happens really early in season 1.
Yeah, he's a major player.
Yeah, he's established as the general of the droid army, but he's also being trained by Count Dooku. And he's being trained because he's a cyborg, like he's got organic parts to him.
Right.
And he's got this cough because at the end of the animated 2D series, Mace Windu and him had a fight, and Mace Windu used the Force to crush his chest cavity, and I think it caused some problems with his remaining organic stuff. There's an episode in a season 1 where they go to his lair. I'm not sure if you've got that far yet, but that's
I recall them telling the story.
Yeah, but it's a good, that's a good episode. It can get some back, you know, back information on Grievous. I like Grievous a lot more in the cartoon series than I do in the movies because he has more weight. He's more vicious. He's, the main villain, you know, and I think that's one of the things that the Revenge of the Sith lacks is a focused villain, you know, like Grievous is okay, and then there's Darth Sidious, and like there's just all these different things, and then Anakin is you know, kind of teetering on the dark side for a while, and like it just all that kind of stuff is just hard to focus on. Whereas in the Clone Wars, it's very straightforward. You know, Dooku, Sidious, and Grievous are bad, and everybody else is good. You know, and when you come down to like saber fights and stuff like that, like mm-hmm. Grievous is the main physical threat. Dooku is the main political threat, and then Sidious is like the puppet master behind the scenes. Because at this point, no one even really knows who he is, right? So it's really, it gets very deep, and it becomes, it's a show that doesn't talk down to kids, and that's why I think it appeals to such a broad audience, is that it's not really annoying. I mean, there's a couple episodes early on where Ahsoka gets kind of annoying, but they change her writing and her dialogue quite quickly. In season 1.
There's a Jar Jar episode that I just finished that was kind of, you know, it had its moments, but it wasn't as bad as episode 1 Jar Jar. Like, I don't think anything will be worse than that. The mm-hmm. episode was, you know, it was Jar Jar heavily focused on him, but it was actually still a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
But not the Jar Jar bits. It was everything else that was pretty good.
Yeah, no, and thankfully those are few and far between. They'd still put them in there. Because, I mean, there are still some young kids, I guess, that they're trying to cater to. But, yeah, I just, mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan. I really like the design of the show. I find that, you know, if you're going to do a CG animated television series, I mean, that's a lot of work. And it's a lot of money and rendering and all that kind of stuff. And to go with a very stylized kind of angular look to everything, there's still, like, hair still has texture, but for the most part, it's almost like they're wearing, you know, sculpted helmets. Like they're glorified. I won't say glorified, but they're higher poly than you'd find in a game model, but they're still pretty simple as far as, you know, television and computer animation goes, or as film goes. And I think they did a great job of balancing like that really cool angular style with all the action they have to keep up with. Cause I mean, there's scenes where there's like, you know, hundreds of laser bolts and droids jumping this way and that, and lightsabers and people doing somersaults. Like, there's all kinds of crazy action that, I mean, as an animator, I just look at that and kind of go, man, I can't imagine doing that any other way than with CG, right?
Yeah, no. I think the look of the show is really neat. It holds up really well.
Very much so.
If you look at shows that came out 6 years ago, they probably, like CG shows, they probably don't hold up as well as this one does.
No, you like remember like Beast Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that show does not hold up.
To be fair, that show was in the 90s, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like there's some shows that really don't. I mean, even some of the CG effects in like episode one, you know, in the films, they don't hold up. You know, and it's something I'm really looking forward to with the new Star Wars film that's coming out, episode 7. I think that with where we are with special effects these days, and the fact that I've heard that, you know, J.J. Abrams is doing a lot of practical effects, like a lot of models and set pieces and stuff like that, I think it's going to be a very, very cool movie.
Yeah. Well, I have really good faith in J.J. because, I mean, he didn't screw up Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars has already been screwed up by the guy who created it. So I think, like, J.J.'s got a really good opportunity to... maybe not make the best Star Wars film, but certainly not make the worst Star Wars film.
No, and I mean, he's got writing on his side and experience with decent plots and stuff on his side.
Yeah, and he's probably got the best thing from George Lucas, which is an outline. I mean, the ideas behind Star Wars, like the overall goals mm-hmm. and outlines of the story, is great. You wouldn't have, spoiler alert, Darth Vader be the father of Luke Skywalker if it weren't for George Lucas's outline.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you get Jar Jar Binks when you allow him to fill in the blanks, you know? So I think having that outline from George Lucas will make a really good script for with J.J. writing with his other writing team or whatever.
Yeah. Have you heard the latest news on that?
You know what? I know it's coming out in December 2015, so that's my goal to finish all this stuff, but
yeah,
it's like something to do with, like, you know, original cast and three young cast.
I guess. So the way that they've worked it is that I think there was a timeline leak, and they were saying that the new episodes are happening approximately 30 years after the end of the Return of the Jedi. It's been 30 years since Return of the Jedi was released. So people like Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher are 30 years older and would be very easy to cast in the film. And I mean, no one has said anything, so it's all just speculation. But apparently there was like a non-confirming smirk or something from Harrison Ford on some British talk show.
Of course.
That just gets everyone... Like, he didn't say no. He just didn't say anything. You know, and I mean, everybody and their dog is just like, yep, okay. And really, I mean, like, with Ford, Fisher, and Hamill all still alive and still working in the entertainment industry, you would be just an idiot to not try to at least get one of them in the film.
Well, I think the idea is that for episode 7, like what I've been hearing is that they'll, or maybe it's just a really strong theory, but what they'll do is they'll focus episode 7 on the original three, introducing these younger characters, mm-hmm. and those three will be heavily featured in 7 and then sprinkled throughout 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of as a,
kicking,
you know,
it going off. From,
yeah, exactly. So I just hope they don't do what they did in Crystal Skull, where they reduce Chewbacca to a photo on a desk like they did with Sean Connery's character. Because, like, I feel like they won't do this. That's a bad joke. I just think Sean Connery didn't want to do it, or they didn't want to ask him and go through that hassle. But I don't want, like, you know, to get the three major guys and then for some reason they couldn't get another guy, so they, like, shoehorn him in there with, like, a photo on a desk or something.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Chewie will be in there.
They'll have to get a different actor, but I'm sure the character will be there.
Is Peter, what's his face?
What is it? Mayhew? I can't remember. That's a poor geek cred. I actually don't remember.
I think it is Peter Mayhew. Molyneux is a game designer. He's from London, but...
I think he passed away. I'm not really sure. If only I was attached to the internet. Happens at least once a show.
Well, I guess, and also you got C-3PO and R2-D2, unless I'm forgetting something from...
Yeah.
Like, they're robots. They're not going to go anywhere, right? So, And yeah, so I look forward to it. Oh, we do know the only confirmed cast return so far is R2-D2. Like, I was reading news about that. Like, he's the only confirmed cast, which is kind of crazy.
Interesting. I could be mistaken. Mayhew may still be around.
Well, he just has to dress up in a furry suit.
I could have sworn that he passed away, but I guess I was just wrong. I apologize. I'm
trying to think of who would have passed
putting away. People in their graves before their time. Oh man, I mean he's 2.18 meters according to Google. I'm trying to figure out how tall that is in feet.
I don't know. I'm not gonna do that math live.
No, he's 69. So he's 7'3".
Woof.
He is a tall gentleman.
He didn't.
Holy smoke! Okay, I knew he was tall. I didn't realize he was 7'3". God, plus with the Chewbacca like costume and stuff on, it's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane. Anyway, I guess we can move on here. What else have you been watching, man?
Ashley picked up a show on our flight from Toronto to Mexico in February called New Girl. And this is a show I've always kind of been interested in, but never really got around. It's kind of like in the ballpark of Parks and Rec, where everyone likes it, but I just don't have time to add another long-running comedy to my, you know, rotation. So I will stay away from it as long as possible.
Yeah.
Ashley got wind of it on the airplane, and we started watching it starting from season one. And it is a really interesting comedy show. Like it's like, I think it's a Fox or maybe CW, I can't tell, but it stars Zooey Deschanel as the main chick, and she's got three guy roommates, all of them sort of new actors on the scene, or at least I hadn't seen them before. But it's a really interesting show about these four people who live together, and they just get into wacky antics every week. And it's a really hard show to explain, but it's basically Zooey Deschanel being Zooey Deschanel, and these three guys getting turns acting like idiots. You know, it's Ashley loves it. She'll laugh out loud nonstop, and I get a kick out of it too. But are you a fan of Zooey Deschanel? Like, if you don't like Zooey, this show ain't gonna change your mind.
I'm a fan in that I do find her funny, and I do find her very attractive. She's certainly easy to watch in films, but, I did try watching The New Girl. I think I watched most of season one, and, it was the same thing over and over. And I just found it's not her fault or anything else. It's just, I don't like awkward comedy.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. It is essentially the same thing over and over.
No, I mean, for me, it's, well, yeah. I mean, and she's the same type of character in all the movies and all the stuff I've seen her in. I don't really find her to be very broad.
No.
And I'm not saying I dislike her style. Like, I mean, if it's appropriate, if it fits in the movie, like, 500 Days of Summer with, Justin Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, that was actually a really different film that she was in,
which I really liked. Yeah,
she was very cold in that film.
Yeah, yeah, but still very awkward cold. Like, just everything always seems to be that awkward thing. Now, with the awkward humor, it doesn't matter whether it's her or anybody else. I'm just not a fan. When it's stuff like that, I just want to grab the television and shake it and just be like, spit it out, whatever it is, say it, like, just punchline, anything, just help me out. And I don't find it. It's too much, fill in the blanks.
I found that, like, when I was watching it, I'm not a big fan of awkward comedy, but a specific kind of that awkward comedy where they're being awkward and it just keeps getting worse and worse for them. Whereas in New Girl, it's like, yeah, they're awkward, but for some reason it just never goes that bad for them. Like, they kind of make their own situations bad rather than, you know. The thing I don't like is when awkward people get mixed in with normal people, and those normal people just want to kick the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the awkward that I want. This is just sort of like, you know, awkward meets awkward, and it's like banging two rocks together for 22 minutes, you know? Yeah.
I do remember the characters all having an appeal. Like, I remember really liking the dudes that she was rooming with. Like, they all had their own kind of, like, you know, appeal, and, you know, like, they're like, having three older brothers sort of looking out for her.
Yeah.
I think at one point she had a really awkward boyfriend who was very similar to her.
Yeah, Justin Long was in it, and that was a good example of awkward meeting awkward, and I did not dig it. And
yeah,
that ended quickly, which I was very glad.
See, and I think that's around the when I stopped watching.
I don't blame you. That was probably one of the few episodes where it was like, I can't watch this anymore. But the main character that one of the main guys, I think his name's Nick. Like that, he's like a newcomer, and I was like, I really love this guy. And then on Netflix, I saw there was a movie that he was in called Drinking Buddies, and you go in thinking like, oh, he's gonna be funny, and it's gonna be a really hilarious movie, and it wasn't. It was like it was trying to be funny. It was like, I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but it was like a documentary about these two couples that work at a brewery, and there's just like shit that goes down where it's not funny at all. It's just super awkward. Like, the one breaks up with her couple and then starts, like, hanging out with the other couple and starts breaking them up. It was just really awkward.
Weird.
And you know how you get in your mind that, I know actors don't like to be pigeonholed, but you kind of get in your mind that this guy is funny in everything I see. Sort of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, like Will Ferrell, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's kind of always funny in everything he does. And then you go and watch... that Stranger Than Fiction movie, where he's still funny, but that was like kind of, sort of a good example of him doing something different and you're enjoying it. This example with Drinking Buddies is like, he's nothing like what you actually like about the actor.
Mm.
So it's just, it comes off as awkward. And it's like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Yeah. See, no,
so I don't watch that.
I'd have to check out that other film by Will Ferrell, because I can't stand that guy.
You ever seen Stranger Than Fiction?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's you would love it. I would have thought you would. It's got the, well, I'm going to leave with the only name that comes to mind, and then I'll try to think of the other one, but it's got Queen Latifah in it, and in one of her better roles. I mean, I can't think of any movie that I really enjoyed her in except for this one, where she plays like a publicist trying to get an author to finish a book. She's been taking like years and years. And the author is played by a British woman, the sister on Love Actually to Liam Neeson, I think. Maybe not a sister, a friend.
Yeah, it's his friend. It's not Kate Blanchett's the one from Lord of the Rings.
Something Miranda Mercher. No.
Oh God, that's awful. I can't believe I.
What's her name?
Internet chat room, help us out.
Coming
to a grinding halt in the middle of an episode. What's what IMDb is for? It is Emma Thompson. Thank you.
Yes, Emma Thompson. Yeah. She is the author, and she's fantastic. I didn't watch Stranger Than Fiction anytime soon, but having said all that, you should watch Stranger Than Fiction because it is really good.
Cool.
And it's probably one of the best Will Ferrell movies I've ever seen.
I want it to be on record that I Googled that faster than the chat room could tell me. So,
oh wow,
I won
chat
that
room
one.
Slacking.
I won that round. Cool, yeah, I'll have to check that out. I do, like I said, I do remember liking The New Girl. I think our problem is the same as yours. Like, we do not have a lot of time for new shows. Mm-hmm. And we just now have this no-brainer where Jocelyn loves Clone Wars. So if we've got 22 minutes or 44 minutes, we just keep on watching. Because there's six seasons. You know, the sixth and final, I think, or the fifth and final, is only available on Netflix. It hasn't even been aired anywhere yet. So, I mean, yeah, we're just kind of trucking through and enjoying every minute of it. It's also a very light show. If you've had a stressful day at work, it's a good show to kind of unwind with. You know.
Now, will you watch Star Wars Rivals or whatever that's coming out soon?
Rebels. Yes, absolutely.
So what is that? Where does that fit? Is that during the Clone Wars too? Or
no? Well, this is the same. It's the same group of people that made the Clone Wars, but this is what happens after episode 3. So Clone Wars is happening between the dawn of the Clone Wars in episode 2 and the end of the Clone Wars and the dawn of the Empire in episode 3. Rebels is going to deal with what happens between episode 3, which is when Anakin becomes Darth Vader, and episode 4, where we first meet an adult Luke Skywalker. So in episode 4, Luke Skywalker joins the rebellion and ends up blowing up the Death Star. Spoilers. I mean, if you haven't seen it, God, where have you been?
40-year-old movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But at some point that rebellion had to start. So this is going to address that bit of lore. So I'm really curious to see. Because I have
recognizable characters in it, or is it all new?
You're probably going to see Senator Organa, who is Leia's father or surrogate father, adopted father. He's in the prequels as well. Senator Organa is what he goes by.
Freddie Prinze Jr., Steve Bloom. That's a good cast.
Yeah. So there's think about who else might be in there. Mon Mothma is another character. There's another general guy. I don't remember his name. I don't think you'll see anybody like, you won't see anybody like, Han Solo or any of those guys, but you'll see possibly Boba Fett, probably some bounty hunters, because that's kind of a good Star Wars staple. I'm trying to think about what else might be going on there. Possibly Rogue Squadron, Wedge Antilles would be in there possibly. Like there's a lot of stuff that could happen in those years. I read a lot of books, in the extended Star Wars universe that were really quite good. And Rogue Squadron was a series of five and it was great. Cause there's a lot of dogfights, a lot of spaceship battles and stuff like that, which was really, really cool. So yeah, I did manage to squeak in another action movie last week. It was one of those long days where I really needed to recharge over lunch, so I took a little bit of extra time and I watched G.I. Joe Retaliation on Netflix. I don't have a lot to say because it wasn't an overly deep movie, but it was great. Like, I mean, if you are the kind of person that grew up watching Schwarzenegger and Stallone and you enjoy that kind of turn your brain off, decent action movie, you know, kind of the 80s and the 90s. You couldn't ask for a better movie than G.I. Joe Retaliation. I mean, like it's got ties to one of the biggest, you know, franchises of my childhood. The Rock is in it. He plays Roadblock. Adrian Palicki is in it and she plays Lady Jade. And I will watch either one of those people in any role they're ever in. I enjoy them both as actors, and Palicki is also very easy on the eyes. I guess the no-brainer action part is just that it's not an overly deep film. Like the plot is not crazy, but I mean, you really don't expect that when it's like a sequel to a G.I. Joe movie. Like it's, you know, it's not going to be Shakespeare. The action is fantastic. The special effects are great. The dialogue is mediocre. There's some good parts, and there's some really kind of, oh my God, they made you say that parts. But the script smells like it had too many spoons in the pot. And so does the film in some spots. It's pretty choppy at the beginning. I know it had a botched release date where it was postponed or canceled and was supposed to be a big blockbuster summer movie and ended up being released at around like December or something like that. And it completely flopped. And I feel like it probably was not the end product that it was supposed to be. It ended up trying to get fixed and you can sort of feel that. But you know, if you're into G.I. Joe and you like The Rock and you like watching people blow stuff up and, you like, you know, guest appearances from people like, you know, Bruce Willis as the original G.I. Joe, then totally worth it. You know, it's only like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. And I mean, like, it's just straight up action, high tech, sci-fi, cool stuff from start to finish.
Is it a direct continuation of the other G.I. Joe movie, or is it kind of sort of like a reboot?
It's not a direct continuation and it's not a reboot. It's kind of like just a different take because there's just so many Joes. I feel like they did tie in with one character, Duke, who was in the first one. They brought him
Channing Tatum?
Yeah, Channing Tatum. Yeah, they brought him into this one.
The only guy worth bringing back is what? Like, the other one was a Wayans brother?
Something like that, yeah. Like, it really wasn't, you know, fantastic. Although, like, I saw the G.I. Joe movie, the first one that came out, at the same time, same summer, that Transformers 2 came out. And I preferred the G.I. Joe movie. So
yes.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great, but it wasn't complete and utter crap. It was fun. And it wasn't afraid to let itself be known as fun. And this is the same way. There's some goofy moments. Like there's a ninja fight on the side of the mountain where you're just like, okay, really? This is in here just because someone wanted to put it in here. It does not propel the story whatsoever, you know, but like there's some pretty good action moments and some pretty, pretty cool sci-fi moments. I think that was the thing that I liked the most about it, is that it wasn't just military. Like, they really had some cool sci-fi in there, and they had some cool like Cobra Commander type stuff. And there feels like there's a lot of backstory there that could have and should have been in there, but wasn't. And again, I think it's stuff that hit the cutting room floor, possibly on both films. I don't know. It's good though. It's still, again, just, you know, kind of come home from work, watch The Rock blow stuff up and be happy.
Oh, I should check it out. I mean, I saw the first one. I don't remember hating it. So it's not very often I get to sit down and watch these like over the top action films unless I justify it really well, because Ashley's not really into these sort of experiences, right? So like, if I want to see, like, she's up for any of the Marvel movies, because they're really good. Like,
well, they're very entertaining and they're well written. Yeah.
Whereas this is sort of like, this is more actiony stuff, which is why I haven't seen any of the Expendables movie. I haven't seen the most recent Transformers. So it's tough, but you know, this might be a good like throw on Netflix sort of background movie while you're putting your taxes together or something.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Do you God, there was a movie that I was going to ask if you'd seen that was Marvel, The Incredible Hulk. Did you guys watch that?
I did. I went and saw that in theaters. With Ed Norton, right? Yeah, no, I really dug it. I loved it. I was upset that they didn't continue to use Hulk in, you know, their rotation, right? I guess it didn't do as well as it should have.
They didn't do a sequel, but they put him in the Avengers.
Yeah, they did, and I wonder, like, if that's just because maybe Hulk works better as a supporting character, even though Avengers was probably, like, a Hulk movie.
Feel
it was a good Hulk movie.
Well, yeah. See, this is the thing. The Hulk is such a kingpin when it comes to the Avengers, because they have to aim him and contain him like all at the same time. I feel like the other issue was that the Hulk movie came out just a few years before the Avengers, and they had all these other characters. Like, they had to get Thor and Captain America out there in at least one movie before Avengers.
Yeah,
and I feel like they and plus there was Iron Man 3, so, and which was probably already a deal made. So I feel like putting Hulk in there would have just been a little bit too much.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like it's been pretty busy, but I mean, they're talking about doing. Well, you have Guardians of the Galaxy coming out this year, so that,
yeah.
You know, they had Thor 2 last year. Was it Thor 2? Iron Man 3, Thor 2, now Captain America 2, and then Guardians of the Galaxy, then Avengers. And then
they've got it's not Marvel, but it's Spider-Man. Spider-Man's coming out this year.
Right. Oh man.
But that's
Ant-Man. When's that come out?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't care.
You don't care about Ant-Man?
Not at all.
Oh man, I don't know why, you know, maybe you're not a big fan of Paul Rudd, but I think that Ant-Man is on par to make a big splash, especially if Guardians of the Galaxy does well, because that'll test like whether people can enjoy that tone in their Marvel movies. But I feel like Ant-Man's going to be similar to Iron Man, where a lot of people were like, man, who's this Iron Man guy? I mean, it's a dude in a flying suit, so he's kind of got a check mark there. But Ant-Man, I think, I'm just really excited about it because I think it's going to be different. And I'm a huge fan of Paul Rudd when he's not doing rom-coms or rated R comedies. You know, I like his style. But he doesn't do a lot of movies that I dig, because he's always either in like rom-coms or in like 40-year-old virgin type stuff. It's been a while. Like, the last movie I liked him in was maybe like Yes Man.
Yeah.
Like that was a good movie I liked him
in. Was he in Bromance?
I think so, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I can't remember. I like him in most movies, but yeah, it's not Paul Rudd. It's Ant-Man, Hank Pym. Like, I just not interested at all.
I don't know anything about him, so yeah. I'm interested just to see what they do with the character.
Yeah. I mean, the character apparently has some interesting arcs. Like, I mean, his relationship with his wife, who is the Wasp in the Avengers in the comics, is apparently a volatile relationship, and it, you know, has a deep and sordid history. But the superhero, Ant-Man, like his alter ego, I just have zero interest in. I find that kind of stuff a little bit out there. I don't know what it is. I guess... As imaginative as it is to have a person get as large or as small as he wants, I kind of want more imagination in my superheroes. I don't know why. I think, the bar has been set pretty high. I mean, we've got Superman, yeah. Batman, we've got Hulk and Iron Man and Spider-Man. Like, I feel like just, Hank Pym and Ant-Man, sorry. It's probably just because I didn't read the Avengers comics growing up.
Right.
Actually, all this Avengers talk has me thinking about my internet pick this week. So we should probably get into that as we're running a little short on time. This week's Internet Minute is, of course, brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. There are 7 different styles and colors, mic'd sets available. They are compatible with iPods, iPhones, and, of course, Androids and multiple MP3 players. They come with a lifetime warranty, and they are awesome. I have a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds myself. I love them for running. They're great for drowning out a lot of excess noise, so you don't have to turn up your music as loud, which means you get to hear things like traffic and other important stuff when you're out running. So visit tweakedaudio.com and check out their cool audio gear. This week's pick for me is actually a bit of concept art from the upcoming Age of Ultron Avengers movie, and it is the Hulk, speaking of being contained, fighting Iron Man. And Iron Man is in a suit that is bigger than the Hulk. I know that there's a name for this. I'm going to take it as geek cred for not knowing what the name of this suit is, because I know that Iron Man has all these different Mach 3s and 5s and 6s.
It's the Hulkbuster.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the only reason I know that is because I had seen like some... they were actually... They've been doing a lot of... So they're actually filming this right now. And there's a lot... You got to be careful, because if you don't want to know every little piece, because Avengers is just so nitpicked and picked apart now that the first one was such a success... that you're seeing a lot of, like, set photos. And one of those set photos was, like, a 2-scale Hulkbuster glove. And that's the only reason that I knew the name of it, is that I guess that this Iron Man suit is something that Tony has put together. Now, I wonder, like, I know it's concept art, but I wonder, like, what, they're going to go after Ultron, and I don't know what those... twin Quicksilver people are all about, but then also they're gonna have to battle the Hulk. Like, well, that sounds like a lot of business
going yeah on. And this is one of those situations where I wish Peyton was here, because Peyton has read a lot of the comics and he's a big Hulk comic fan, so he knows how the Hulk ties in. I mean, in some alternate universes in Marvel, like, they have to send Hulk to a different planet, like, he's just too angry and they can't deal with him and he destroys and kills too many people, so they just put him in a rocket and say see ya. And that's one, you know, potential storyline, because Marvel got into that whole, like, you know, multiple universe things just like DC did. So I don't know where they're going to go with it, but I mean, this could also just be training, you know, like, you never know. It could be Tony Stark and the Hulk just saying, all right, we've got to take this thing to the next level, let's see what my new Hulkbuster suit can do. And maybe that's a name in jest, you know, like, maybe he's not really trying to get the Hulk, maybe he's just trying to see if his suit can stand up to the Hulk. Like, I don't know.
Well, we do know that Tony's suits can be remote controlled, so maybe somebody else is controlling the Hulkbuster.
Yeah, it could be, you know, I mean, I've heard speculation that Ultron, and I don't remember the origin of this villain, but, you know, one of the potentials is that Jarvis goes AWOL. So Tony's AI, which controlled, like, many of his suits in, I think it was...
It's Iron Man 3, right?
Iron Man 3, yeah. There's an official poster here with Tony Stark in the Hulkbuster.
What?
Yeah.
Is that official?
Yeah.
I
don't know if it's not official, but it's
3D model. 3D, oh, but it looks really cool, though.
Yeah, it's a 3D model. Sorry, I just put that in the chat room twice. Jack Slade from the chat room just sent us the link about the Hulkbuster suit. Very, very cool looking. Yeah, I think that's I agree that's a fake poster, but still a neat idea. And there's actually a pretty cool site. There's a bunch of people putting their heads on different Marvel characters. too funny. But yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to happen with all of these cool superhero movies that are for coming out soon. So what about you, sir? What's your pick this week?
So the thing that I picked was something probably going to end up covering... it covers a good... selection of stuff that I like to find on the internet, and it involves Titanfall and President Obama. So it is a series of videos where someone puts on not 100% imitation of Obama, but it's, I'd say it's like close to 85 to 90% accurate. Enough so that when he's playing Titanfall in the voice of Obama, people on the stream are actually responding to him as if he was the president, saying sir and asking him questions. And the first video is quite comical, where he's like, so have you guys signed up for the healthcare.gov? And I don't do a really good Obama, but it's funny. And they're like talking about like Obama being a noob and how he's using the smart pistol. And if you're a fan of Titanfall and you're a fan of people making fun of sitting presidents, then this is the video for you guys.
Cool. It sounds
like very visual and very, it's actually more audio than anything. So it's worth checking out.
Some decent Titanfall footage in there as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's some good footage in there. He caps some pretty good kills and gives you an idea of, you know, the different mechanics in the game, like ejecting from your mech and calling it in and wall running and jet boosting and stuff like that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good time to me. I wish that I had access to Titanfall. It's one of the things I'd like to play. I've been enjoying Hawken lately, so I'm getting my mech fixed, or my mech gaming fix there.
Yeah, no, Titanfall is amazing. Mind you, I got into the pitfall this last weekend when I was trying to play, where I kept getting into matches with people who were at my level, not skill-wise, but number-wise, but way above my skill level. So, it the way it matchmakes is like every other first-person shooter. It feels like it's doing it by my level, which you could easily grind to while still being shitty. And rather than doing it the way StarCraft does it, and, you know, like pools
and ranks and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. And it's really disappointing.
So how are you playing in PC?
Yeah, PC.
Oh, okay.
I know it, a lot of, like, they haven't really been too vocal about it, but the PC version is probably just as good as the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even better if you're an audio snob, because it's got like 20 gigs of uncompressed audio. But no, I mean, it's good enough on the PC. It is a beefy game. It's definitely like a next gen game made for PC. So you're not gonna be able to get away with an older system. But it's the Source engine, so it scales really well. So you might be able to bring it down.
Hmm.
I know I had to. So
cool, interesting. Because I'd like to give it a go, but I always just assumed it was an Xbox One.
It's coming out on 360 in April too, but don't pre-order, because I have no idea what it's going to be like.
I wouldn't. Yeah, well, I just, my gaming budget is just, it's nil. Like I've got a couple of other things on the table right now, and they're all just free to play MOBAs that I want to try out. It's mostly because I'm just interested in the art direction. Like I've seen the stuff on DeviantArt, and I just want to see what it looks like in game and just stuff like that. So I don't have a lot of time to play video games lately. And what I do, I tend to be doing multiplayer stuff that I haven't finished yet. Like, I mean, I'm still playing, you know, Borderlands 2, I'm still playing, I was still playing Diablo. Jocelyn and I killed Diablo this weekend. Yeah, and then, you know, I've also got to finish Assassin's Creed, and I've got Batman, like Arkham
Origins?
Yeah, like I haven't even touched that yet.
Yeah, you got 6 months to beat that one.
No, I know. We talked about that, I think the last time on Civil Cafe, or a couple weeks ago, we talked about, with Joe Wright, we talked about the trailer for Batman Arkham Knight, I think is the name of the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. So, well, that's it, folks. That wraps up another episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com/live. Our mobile audio stream is provided by the lovely folks at alphageekradio.com. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. And of course, the episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com, which is also where you can find all of our handy show notes and links to the cool stuff that Ryan and I have mentioned this week. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. Ryan is one half of the Gamers In podcast, which happens every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. If you're a gamer, tune in to Jocelyn and Ryan as they break down their opinions of the latest in gaming news and what they've been playing. Anything to tease this week, Ryan?
Yeah, we are actually going to be recording Saturday evening, if all goes well.
I did not know that.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Like, when we originally moved to Friday nights, it's like, I'm a shut-in. I don't have anything to do on a Friday night. March has been, you have to do this, and this. And it's just been, oh, you know, I'm not complaining. I enjoy, you know, getting out there. And so we had to move it once again. But April, minus the religious holidays that shall not be named, we will be on Friday doing the show. But no, this week we're probably going to be aiming for Saturday evening if all works out. What we're going to be talking about, I don't know. We don't know yet. Video games. Probably Diablo, maybe that whole Oculus Facebook thing.
I say, oh God, yeah.
Has been really weird. Like, I saw that and I thought it was an Onion article. So, but you know what? So gamersinpodcast.com. We will be recording Saturday. We actually launched a Patreon for Gamers In.
Oh, nice.
Patreon.com/thegamersin. Some really cool milestones there, but the show will always be free. And so will extra video stuff, but those milestones help ensure that we are able to provide some cool extra stuff for all of our listeners.
That's very, very cool. I actually just signed up to support you guys the other day.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, no problem. I'm happy to do it. And happy to guest on the Gamers Inn. I don't know if I've actually mentioned it on the Citadel Cafe before, but a couple of weeks ago we kind of had like a all guys podcast with myself, and James from Britain. Talking some mech games and some other sci-fi stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that was a lot. It's always cool when we get to have, you know, some guests on and shake things up, you know, and you know, get some more viewpoints out there for the listeners. So
yeah, and just this past weekend, Kim Price, from Doghouse System,
that show was on Monday.
Yeah, no, that was a fun episode because it was the reverse. Of course, it was an all girl episode with just Jocelyn and Kim.
But there was still a lot of mech talk. From what I understand.
Yeah, a little bit. That's okay. That's how we like our girls, talking mechs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, folks, my name is Joel Duggan, and you can find everything I am up to online at joelduggan.com, and that includes my Patreon page, which is patreon.com/joelduggan. That is where I am running a campaign to help me create more comics. My comic at starcrossedonline.com has been going for about 4 years, and I am looking to have your support to help me keep it going. Comic is always going to be free, but I've got some extra, I guess, bonuses and perks for those that are interested in seeing the comic early, maybe some behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm working on some video footage and also a PDF copy of my book. So if you enjoy the comic, please consider becoming a patron of Starcrossed. You can also follow me on Twitter at Joel Duggan, and Facebook is Joel Duggan Illustration. Ryan, where can people find your personal work online?
Well, ryanmurphy.ca. Thank you to the wonderful Joel Duggan for helping me with the design work.
Not a problem.
On this website. It showcases, a lot of people probably don't know, but my day job and my side projects revolve around building websites for clients and stuff. So my web design is all there, but also all my podcasts and also some personal stuff about like where I came from and what games I like playing and how you can friend me on a bunch of different video game services. But it's all there, ryanmurphy.ca.
It was fun to put together. I'm glad that we came up with something that worked. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
That leads to many things.
Yeah. Don't quit your day job, Joel. Wow.